Hello, beautiful. This is Reverend Jennifer Hadley, and the recording you're about to listen to is part of the 2011 Living A Course in Miracles teleclass. Our intention in offering this class is to give you clear tools and practices that you can use to align with love every day in every area of your life. No one can do your healing for you. You must decide to choose love in every moment to the very best of your ability. Remember, miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. Intend to live a miraculous life of love and share the benefits of your healing and your expansion with everyone because you're one with them. Please pause the recording before the class starts and write down your intention in listening to the class. Partner up with your own higher Holy Spirit self. And please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the class.
So we begin with a breath of gratitude. And I invite you to place your hand on your heart as I am doing. Take that breath again. Gratitude literally is the vibration that multiplies the good, and it assists us in lifting our ability to perceive up above the resentments and the regrets and the unforgiveness, the doubt, the worry, the blame and the shame. And as we take another breath of gratitude, we're consciously partnering up with the Holy Spirit, the higher self, the Holy Self. We're opening our hearts and minds to our divinity. Consciously communing with the I Am presence and releasing any sense of separation. We're awake and available to the download, to the insight, to the clarity. We're declaring ourselves all in for love. We're making ourselves available to have a profound understanding of faith and trust. We invoke divine grace into every nook and cranny of our awareness. Like a beam of love. Dissolving the darkness. We remember that we are beings of love and light. This is our true identity. And right now we're cultivating the willingness to see that in ourselves and to see it in our brothers and sisters and to share the benefit of our healing with everyone because we're one with them. So grateful and so thankful to gather together in this way and to say yes to love, to say yes to peace, to say yes to joy that is unconditional and unprecedented. Love is the healer, and we are available for our healing. We're allowing it. We're accepting it right now. And we give thanks to ourselves. We give thanks to the Holy Spirit, to the presence of love, the Christ presence, all here right now, one. In gratitude, we accept the healing and we let it be, and so it is. Amen. So trust and faith. And these two classes each week are always a companion set, and the intention is to make the Thursday class, the first class of the week, really a class on the principle, and then the Friday class, the morning class, a class in how to apply it in your life, where the rubber meets the road. Because we all know that reading a book does not heal our life. It does not change our minds. There are words on a page. How could they change our minds? And how many of us have read page after page of A Course in Miracles and we don't have a clue to what we just read? And many, many spiritual seekers will read a book and say that they've read it, but they have no idea what it means. And it doesn't mean there's something wrong with them. It doesn't mean they're a bad person, and it doesn't mean they're spiritually stupid. All it means is that they are not yet in where they're realizing the answer is within them. Seek first the kingdom which is within, and all else will be added unto you. So one of the things that I can share with you that I've learned to do is before I open the book, I sit with the book in my hand. And I can connect to the mind that wrote the book, because there is only the one. Connect to the river of wisdom from which the book emerged. We can connect to the original insight that the author had. And sometimes we can feel that the person who wrote the book wasn't actually tapped into the river themselves. They were going off of something they had read, and something they thought, and something they believed, but not something that they knew. And there's a difference. Real difference between something you know and something you believe. There's a real difference. And many people believe things. They believe that it's better to give than to receive. But that's not true. But that is a very strong belief for many people. You know, I think that that comes from, you get brownie points if you give. But you don't get brownie points if you're a good receiver. Sometimes if you're a good receiver, people think you're selfish. One of the things that happened to me when I was a little girl was my grandmother, who loved me. She just adored me. But she thought it was her job to control and manipulate me to be a good little girl, versus inspiring and motivating me to be a good little girl. But that's only because that's how she was raised. And she was a good little girl. And I was very independent, very rebellious and wild. And I hated to be controlled and manipulated. So I was born into the perfect family. Because my family really thought that the smartest people were the most controlling and manipulating. I don't think that they knew that that's what they thought. I don't think that that was their intention, but that's what they have been taught, to control and to manipulate. And so when you're controlling and manipulating, you're not trusting. Your faith is in your own ability to perceive. You're not partnered up. And I come from really good, loving people. I mean, my parents and my grandparents, all of them, I watched them my whole life, and still to this day, my dad, they live a life of service. I mean, hours and hours and hours every week of community service. So they're very loving, very giving people. But,
all right, apparently we had a malfunction on the sound. So I'm not sure where we let off. So I'm just going to take a moment here and invite Spirit to tell me where to begin again. I invite you to just open your mind and free your mind to help me. So I was saying how I'm just going to mention that perhaps we want to start this recording as well, just to have a backup. But, perhaps going back to the place where I was sharing about this friend of mine who had been a support in as an interpreter in a group of pedophiles. For several years, he was an interpreter in this group. And he listened to the stories of these men for several years. And in the course of that time, he discovered that every single one of the men in this group had been abused as a child. And so he developed this tremendous compassion for them, where he had none before, none. And especially because he raised a little girl. He had a little girl. And so the learning in that is so powerful. And what we can do is we can open our hearts and minds to that which we don't even know, compassion for strangers. You know what? I'm going to take one minute break here and just get comfortable because it's too distracting. When you love yourself, that's what you do. Really, it's true. You don't have to suffer. If people are frustrated sometimes, you can say, oh, well, you see, you get to develop patience. You don't develop patience because you take a weekend workshop or you listen to a CD or something like that. It's not how it works. If it were, I could make a gold mine. If I could invent a book that you could read that would make you patient, or I could create a CD set that would make you patient, I would be the richest person on the planet. But that's not within my power. So, but my intention here is to inspire everyone to understand the workings of trust and faith. So, we're learning to trust love. We're learning to trust spirit to lead us and guide us. And I was sharing that my friend learned that where he had judged the pedophile so harshly, once he got to know that underneath their behavior was an innocent child who had been abused and was still afraid, was still seeking, they were seeking their innocence back. They were seeking that connection with their childhood back. They were seeking the purity back. And so, you know, sometimes you think if you could eat something, it would restore you. When really what it is very often is, it's kind of like if you have food poisoning, it's not about keeping it down. No, it's about getting it up and out of you so that then you can feel your true self and be restored. And so this is the thing we're doing, is we're letting go of that which is not our true identity so that our true identity can be revealed. And part of that healing is understanding that our divinity, our true identity, is the light. It is the love. And what we've done is we've literally covered over the light and the love with all these thoughts, these opinions, these judgments, these false beliefs, these things that aren't true. And so as I was saying in the class yesterday, underneath all of that is access to true wisdom, which is the fountain of faith. The true wisdom is the knowledge that is divine knowledge. And it is the ability to really perceive the truth through all directions of time and space, unsullied by human opinion, unsullied by the events of human history. Because when you can see clearly, you can see that everything throughout human history merely proves God, merely proves the law of cause and effect, that all thoughts produce form at some level, that it is done unto you as you believe. That's what all human history proves. So here's the thing. On an intellectual level, we already know that. We already know that. How many times have you sat in a room with a spiritual teacher, a speaker, read a book, and said, I know that. I know that. Maybe with your arms crossed across your chest and your legs crossed. I know that. They're not so spiritual. They're not so great. I know that. Well, there's one thing to understand it intellectually, and there's a whole other thing to live it and to walk your talk. And you cannot stop playing small until you walk your talk. I know that 100%. Because what you will find is there are so many impediments that get in your way, and those impediments that get in your way are frustrating and irritating. So here we are at Unity Village, and I'm recording this in front of a live audience, and they have seen that we've had technical difficulties last night and today because we're doing it in a different environment with different systems, and they've seen that I haven't been frustrated or irritated and that I've just gone with the flow, and it's, you know, we're doing the best we can. We're working with it. And that's evidence that I walk my talk, you see. And when you can meet someone, I have a teacher who really walks her talk, and no one has ever seen her really be upset or angry or irritated or frustrated with anyone. And people have studied with her for 20 years and spent weeks with her, you know, in living in the same house, working together, and they've never seen that. And I'm so grateful she is my teacher, because as soon as I met her, I thought, that's what I'd like to model. I'd like to be like that. I'd like to be like that. Because sometimes people see a spiritual teacher who is upset, and they're angry, and they're frustrated. And what that does with the student is they think, maybe there's a disconnect there. And maybe they're just human. Because I want to say, if you see me yelling at anyone on the staff, no, I'm just kidding. That wouldn't happen. But sometimes I get frustrated and irritated. And that, for me, is a sign. That's a divine alarm clock going off in my body, reminding me, there is something you're thinking that's not true. Will you surrender it to the higher self? Will you surrender it to the Holy Spirit? Or will you continue to think that you're right? So this is the thing that I was saying, is many people have come to me over the years of, as I've worked as a counselor, and they have felt they needed to confess their sins to me in a certain way. You know, and imagine if all the years in churches where people confess their sins, that if every single one of them could confess it to someone who had compassion for them, who didn't judge them as a sinner, but instead could say, so are you willing to let that go? How can you love yourself even so? What a difference it would have made in humanity if that practice had begun thousands of years ago. And of course, in some cultures and some faiths, that is how it goes. So I have learned that when I wasn't judging the people who were coming to me to make their confession, of course, you know, I didn't hang out a shingle saying, make your confession here. But that's what happens when you're counseling people, especially as a spiritual counselor. People want to relieve themselves because they feel guilty. And they want to know, can someone still love me if they know that I did this? If they know that this is how I live? If they know I have this secret foible, this secret habit? Well, there have been times in my life when I was a secret smoker. There have been times in my life when I was a secret one too many glass of wine, you know, one too many whatever. And so I have compassion for that, because I remember why I did it in secret. because I thought it wasn't very spiritual. But you see, all of that is the ways that, those are the ways that we place our faith in the judgments of the world instead of in God. It means we don't trust God. It also means that we don't think we're good enough. We don't think we're good enough. And very often, as we've seen played out on the major stages of religion and politics over and over and over again, very often people who righteously say one thing are secretly doing the opposite. Craziness, right? That's exactly what craziness is. It's a split in the mind. And what it is it's a self-hatred. It's self-loathing. That people cannot accept themselves. You know, it's true, particularly around people's sexuality. I've said many times, I have hardly ever met a person in my life that at some point they haven't felt that they were deviant or crazy or there's something wrong with them, particularly as it comes to their sexuality. Because sometimes when the body gets all heated up or all shut down or whatever, their sexuality just is so driving them or compelling them or in some way limiting them that they feel crazy. They feel out of control or so controlled that they can't stand it. And the response is almost never to go into compassion. It's to go into judgment. And again, that's placing our faith in the judgments of the world and not trusting in the divine. So life is very challenging. And this is why, for me, I began the habit many years ago of turning everything over to God at the beginning of the day. And that's one of the tenets of A Course in Miracles, and that's why we have the workbook, is so that we learn not to rely on our own judgments and not to rely on our own perceptions, but to partner up and to really become interested in what we hear and see. From divine inspiration. One of the sections that I think is very helpful, I want to point people to, those who are really interested in A Course in Miracles, it's lesson 135 in the workbook. And for me, the part that I love starts with paragraph 11. This is, I think, the longest lesson that there is. And paragraph 11 starts with, a healed mind does not plan. A healed mind does not plan. Now, I remember when I first read that, I thought, oh, this is going to be good. Because that doesn't make sense to me. A healed mind doesn't plan. Because, you know, I love to plan what I'm going to have for lunch. And I don't want to think that there's something wrong with me if I like to plan what I'm going to have for lunch. So what does that mean? A healed mind does not plan. And it goes on to say here at the bottom of, it's my page 253. So a healed mind does not depend on itself for anything except its adequacy to fulfill the plans assigned to it. So in other words, everything that you need will be given to you. The insight and the guidance you need will be given to you if you're willing to accept it. There is the rub. You have to be willing to accept it. So that's what it means by judging righteous judgment, not your own judgment. So that's why I say, to make it clear for people, make it plain for them, the judger always feels judged. The The judger always feels judged, and the beloved always, the lover always feels beloved. The lover always feels beloved. So when we're listening, we will hear. And when our mind bounces back and forth between judgments and opinions and thinking that we're the ones in charge of controlling and manipulating and deciding who's good and who's bad, like we're Santa's little helpers, then what happens is we become entranced by our own thoughts and we start to think we're right. But we're not. Sadly, no. And for me, this was such a gold mine for me when I realized, oh, I don't need any of my opinions anymore. No, I don't need any of them. And I started looking around in my mind, are there any opinions that I need? No, no. And I realized I could have my preferences. I have a lot of preferences. But I learned I could have my preferences without opinions. So I have a preference for planning my lunch. Because I have a preference for eating the foods that I like, and I really like to have nutritious food. And I like to have cooked food. My body doesn't like a lot of raw food. So I have to be able to prepare it. I work at home, so I cook a lot of my own meals. So I have to shop ahead of time. So I need to be prepared. So in a sense, you could say I plan ahead. But here's the thing. I really do tune in at the grocery store and ask my body what would serve. What would be good for me? I don't buy the food that's on sale unless I feel, oh, yeah, that's going to be good for me. But see, I couldn't even perceive any of that when I was caught up in my judgments and opinions. That is the thing. When we're caught up in our judgments and opinions, we're not interested in perceiving clearly. We're interested in projecting our judgments out into the world. And that's what we're going to see. We're going to see how the world lines up with our judgment. And we're not going to be happy about it. And that's why we're going to feel compelled to control and manipulate, because we think we're right. We think we know best. And it's all of that behavior that is going to create so much tension in all of our relationships. Because is there anybody here who likes to be controlled and manipulated? No one is raising their hand. No. You know, I will go out of my way to let you know I do not like to be controlled and manipulated. And I used to do it, like I said before, in a way that was unpleasant. And now I can just say, oh, honey, no. Oh, you're trying to control me. Oh, I get it. What did you really want? Why did you want to feel that you need to control me? Can you just ask me for what you want? Oh, we can do that. You don't have to manipulate me. Mm-hmm. Next time you feel somebody's trying to control you and manipulate you, remember, they don't trust God because they don't feel worthy, because they're not trustworthy. So you're not trustworthy. So they're trying to control you because they trust their judgment. Because that's what they've learned. And so if you can just ask them, what is it they'd really like from you? That could put you in your heart. And sometimes the ego will say, don't you dare. Don't you dare go along with them. Don't you make them feel better. You have to punish them. Look, they're trying to control and manipulate you. You have to get them back for that. That's how you're going to teach them not to do that. You have to stick with fire on it and burn them. Poke them with it. Throw something at them. Slam the door in their face. Slam the phone down. And they'll get the message. You cannot be controlled and manipulated. But what if, instead of that, you decided to just reach your hand out to them in a loving way, put your hand on their shoulder, their arm, and say, if only in your mind, sweetheart, is there something that I can do that you would like? Is there something you would like from me? I can feel there's something. Would you just tell me what it is so I can see if it's something I'd like to do? And when you feel that impulse control and manipulate them, if you can say, I'm going to step into my heart. I'm going to partner up with a higher self, with the holy self. I am not going to go this one alone. I've done that too many times. I know what comes of that. And so I am going to try a better way. Give the heavy lifting to the Holy Spirit. You know, and just tune into your heart. Say, I need a minute here. Tune into your heart. Put your hand on your heart and say, what is it that I'm really wanting here? Am I wanting approval? Am I wanting a steak sandwich? What am I wanting? Am I wanting them to pay attention to me? What is it that I'm wanting? And then to recognize, there's a neediness here. There's a little child neediness here. There's a wanting, wanting, wanting. There's a craving here. And that's the hook that I was speaking about yesterday in the class. The hook with the barb on it. The wanting. The craving. That's the hook. Because when that energy comes up, there's a sense of my needs won't be met unless I control and manipulate. I can't trust God. I can't have faith that my needs will be met. Nobody in my family ever listened to me. I was the middle child. I was the baby. Everybody treated me like a baby. I need people to respect me now. Whatever it is, there's something that's not healed there. Love is the healer, so we have to approach ourselves with compassion and love. It's worth taking a couple of minutes for. And at first, you might find that people around you will be, what? You need a minute? But you'll be surprised at how very quickly they'll be like, take a minute. Because energetically, they're partnered with you, and energetically, they can feel that what you're doing is you're learning to be loving and compassionate. And as you can do that, you can model it for them, and they can see it, they can learn it, and they too can have a healing. Because if one is lifted, all are lifted. This is why trust is so important. It's so important that we be willing to develop these ways of just stopping and taking a moment rather than riding the energy of the ego and those patterns. It's so important to think of the ego thought system as a series of patterns like a spider web. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive, right? So I always remembered that, and it's so true. It's so true. So we're unweaving that spider web. But the great news is we don't have to figure out how to unweave it, but we do have to decide that's what we're interested in, and that's what we're partnering up for, that unweaving. It's unweaving every thought of separation. And sometimes when people will come to me for counseling, it's literally, energetically, I can see that it's like, sometimes they're like in a prison cell. It's literally like they're walking around in a prison cell. I can feel the bars, like they're in a cage. It's actually not even a prison cell. It's more like a cage a lot of the time. And then sometimes all those spider web ropes, if you will, are so tightly wound around them. It's like they're like one of those balls of rubber bands. It's just so tight around them. But the thing is, all of that energy, all of that restriction and constriction, it's an illusion too. And we're here to dissolve it. And since time is an illusion, it does not take time to dissolve. One of my favorite quotes from Ernest Holmes, the founder of Science of Mind, is, There is no time in healing. Healing does not take time. The only time that it takes to have a healing, and this is the quote, the only time that it takes to have a healing is the time that it takes to have a realization. And the realization is simply of love, of truth. Love is truth. Truth sets us free. So, in this lesson 135, paragraph 11, at the bottom here, it says, it is secure in certainty, the healed mind is secure in certainty, that obstacles cannot impede its progress to accomplishment of any goal that serves the greater plan established for the good of everyone. Do you hear that? Obstacles cannot impede your progress in the accomplishment of any goal that serves the greater plan established for the good of everyone. Now, those of you who are paying attention, you will notice that in each and every one of the prayers that I do, I always say, and we share the benefits with everyone because we're one with them. Because that's the part of the prayer where we all remember that really we cannot have anything we're not willing to share. We cannot have anything we're not willing to share. So if you would like to have your good but deny it to others, you'll never have it. And here's the thing. It's in here anyway. It's in the kingdom. It's installed within you. It's not outside of you. There's nothing for you to get. That's why giving to get is totally futile. The gold mine is here. It's in your heart. You have a heart of gold. And it is a light unto the world. And the great thing is, like if you walk into a dark room, it's completely dark, and you turn on the light, you don't have to cajole the darkness to go. You know, and you don't have to warn the darkness you're coming in. Darkness, I'm going to turn on the light now. You're going to have to get ready to leave. Get your coat on. Here I come with my light. And you don't turn on the light in the dark, kind of fights and slowly withers and goes. No, it's instantaneous. The same is true for us. The light is in our heart. We have to flip the light switch on. So if you're looking for the light outside of you, you're not looking in the right place. So we're drawn to the light outside of us. We're drawn to spiritual teachers. We're drawn to spiritual teachings because they are evidence of the light, that it exists. And we can be inspired and motivated by the light that we perceive. But the healing is when we recognize that the full load has been pre-installed within us. And that can happen at any moment. And this is why it's so important when we see people in the world who seem to be enmeshed in the darkness, that we know only good for them and not contribute to that prison, to cell, to that cage, to those rubber bands constricting them by adding our judgments and our opinions and our attack thoughts onto them. Now, the other thing is whenever we do that attack, it's like a boomerang. It's going to come right back and it's going to hit us harder than we ever intended it to hit anyone else. And in the last 8-week tarot class, I did a 2-part series. It was the last 2 classes of the 16 that was called Freedom from Fear. And I really laid out all of this on how when we give ourselves permission to attack, we will never feel safe. Why? Because we are creating a world that's not safe. We're not interested in safety. We're interested in attack. We have to give up attack in order to feel safe in the world. It's not about changing the world. It's about changing our perception of the world. And when we think it's okay to attack, we will never, ever feel safe. we will always, always feel afraid. And very often, people blame it on others. They don't feel safe because somebody's going to do a jihad on them, you know, or somebody's going to blow up the building, or that's why they don't, it's an orange alert day, or they don't feel safe. They would like to attribute that to someone else, but it's never someone else. So if you have a goal in your life, if you're, and just, I want to tell you, this is something we work with very tightly in Masterful Living. So I have a year-long course called Masterful Living, and we have a class every week, and there's homework. And in that, we really work on getting to the goals that really are our life purpose and living our destiny. And I really believe that everyone's life purpose is to love full out, love out loud, all the time. LOL. You know how people write that on emails, LOL? For the longest time, I thought that's what it meant, love out loud. And then I found, oh, no, they mean laugh out loud. I like love out loud better. A healed mind realizes that there's no obstruction to you manifesting your goal. None. None. Doesn't say anything about struggling or difficulty or overcoming. There will be no impediment if your goal serves the greater plan established for the good of everyone. And you know, those are the most joyful goals anyway. So why not pick one of those? Why not just decide that you're going to begin to contemplate on a regular basis what is the greatest good that you could bring in your life? And every time you feel the ego saying, oh, I could build the biggest, I could be the most generous little girl in the whole world, you know, or whatever. Say, oh, ego, get thee behind me. Or as Ken Wapnick told me last week, he says, I say, I'm not interested in that anymore. Many of you have heard me say that. So when I hear the ego voice, I just say, I'm not interested in that anymore. And sometimes I say, get thee behind me. It just depends. But most I say, oh, no, I'm definitely not interested in that anymore. Because it's a declaration of really, I'm clear, I'm not interested in that anymore. Whereas get thee behind me is more of, you're an annoyance. I'm not, you know, it's a lower scale of ego thought that I would say get thee behind me too. And Ken Wapnick, I asked him, I said, what do you say to that ego mind, Ken? And he said, he quotes King Lear, who said, that way madness lies. I put that in my blog this week, I think it was, or last week, that way madness lies. The whole passage from King Lear. And I love that because it's so true. I mean, that's what ego is, crazy thinking. And the biblical scholars have told me that actually that's what the true translation would have been for the word Satan when Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. That really the devil, Satan, was crazy thinking, ego thinking. A healed mind, this is paragraph 12 now, a healed mind is relieved of the belief that it must plan. Although it cannot know the outcome of which is best, the means by which it is achieved, nor how to recognize the problem that the plan is made to solve. It must misuse the body and its plans until it recognizes this is so. But when it has accepted this as true, then it is healed and lets the body go. Now, this takes time to accept. You have to have real trust and faith to accept that you don't need to make plans. And what it really means is this. Not that you can't plan what you're going to have for lunch or where you're going to go on vacation or plan your wedding or your retirement. It's have no attachment to it. Be open. Ernest Holmes used to say, open at the top. Be open-minded. Have no attachment. Have no hook. And when you notice you feel an attachment to your plant and you think you know what's best and how it should be, and you feel irritation rising from your belly. Ugh. That feeling of that irritation rising from your belly, that's a clear indication that you're hooked with an attachment. And here's, to me, what the wise spiritual seeker does, the true student does. The true student says, oh, how wonderful. I can release another attachment and be that much more free. Oh, how wonderful. Today is my Independence Day. Oh, let me share the benefits with everyone and anyone else who has this hook. Let them, too, be free. Let me unhook it for everyone, everywhere, in all directions of time and space. Let freedom ring throughout eternity. And sometimes it's very challenging because I have done that screaming, lying on the floor with tears running out of my eyes and into my ears because I felt so hooked, you know, that like I was like a fish flopping on the floor. I'm not kidding you. I felt so hooked by my opinions and judgments, by my plans. But that's how we train the mind to let go. You know, it's like if you're quitting smoking and you just, you want a cigarette so much, you practically would gnaw off your hand to get one, you know? And in that moment you say, and yet still, I'm not a smoker anymore. And I do not smoke. The cigarettes have no power over me. My power is the only power, and that's love. And I love myself enough to set myself free. Then in a minute or two, you'll have forgotten about it, and it'll come back again. But, you know, you do that a few times, and then you don't have to do that anymore. You don't. If you do it with sincerity. This is one of my favorite parts here in the whole book, page 255 in my, it's lesson 135, paragraph 18. What could you not accept? If you but knew that everything that happens, all events, past, present, and to come, are gently planned by one whose only purpose is your good. What could you not accept if you knew that everything that happens, all events, past, present, and to come, are gently planned by one whose only purpose is your good? You know, so this is why we have to trust. We have to place our faith in God and know that what is happening is for our highest good. And we cultivate the willingness to see the highest good in what is happening. If we think we know what the highest good should be, then we are not seeing the highest good. We have to keep opening our mind and opening our mind. You know, it's like when you're watching something on the web, you refresh the page, you have to refresh yourself. And I know the best way to do that for me is place my hand on the heart and take a breath of gratitude and say, I'm so grateful right now that I can remember to partner up. I'm so grateful not to rely on my own opinions and judgments anymore. And I am willing to learn to trust. Now, here's the rub. So many people are not trustworthy. That doesn't make them bad or wrong. It's just a habit. It's like a smoker. Being untrustworthy is just a habit. It just means you don't see the value of being trustworthy. That's all. It doesn't mean that you're not a good person. Because how many of us have said, I mean, I have done this. Have you ever done this? You say, I'm not having any of that cake. It's like a vow that you make to yourself. I'm not having any of that cake. And 2 hours later, you've eaten half of the cake. You've eaten, and then you think, I'm a bad, bad person. I cannot keep my word. I'm not trustworthy. I'm a crazy animal. And we start berating ourselves. Now, what's more violent? To deny yourself the right to have any of the cake. To eat the whole cake. Or to berate yourself for having any of the cake. Most people say to berate yourself. So you see, this is what happens. We make a vow, I'm not going to have any of that cake. I'm only going to have one piece. Or I'm not going to have any drinks. I'm never going to sleep with that person again. I am whatever, right? We make these vows. And then before we know it, it's almost like a boomerang, right? We have broken that vow. And we have basically demonstrated to ourselves, we are untrustworthy. Then we project that out into the world and we say the world is not trustworthy. The world is like us. God is like us. God is not trustworthy. I told the God I want, God, that I would quit smoking if he would just come back to me, and he didn't come back to me, so I'm going to keep smoking. I don't have to quit smoking. I only quit smoking if he comes back to me. So he didn't come back, so at least I've got my cigarette. We make these crazy, crazy deals. And you know, part of it comes from our upbringing of religions and things, you know. You make deals. You do the penance, you do this, you do that, you make a bargain with God. But would you trust a God that you can bargain with? No, because that's making God into a person that you bargain with. The law of cause and effect cannot be bargained with. So this is why I'd like to point you to the section on trust in the teacher's manual, which is, it's my favorite section in the teacher's manual. For those who are new to A Course in Miracles, I encourage you to start with the teacher's manual. And I love what this chapter 4, it's what are the characteristics of God's teachers, and the first one is trust. This is the foundation on which their ability to fulfill their function rests. So your function is to save the world through opening your heart and being love, living your true identity. This is the foundation on which your ability to fulfill that rests. Trust is the function, the foundation on which your ability to live your destiny rests. So this section on trust, I encourage you to read it every day for a week. Read it once a week for a month. You know, really study it. See yourself in it. Because what it describes is what I call a process of elimination on the way to illumination. Process of elimination on the way to illumination. You've got to eliminate everything that is covering up that heart of gold, which is the source of your illumination. You are a light being. So don't place your trust in your own opinions and judgments anymore unless you want to continue to be frustrated and disappointed. When you feel that you are hooked, partner up, invoke the higher self, the holy self, to help you undo it. Do not rely on your own abilities. You don't need to. It's like, do you do your own dentistry? Would you do your own surgery? No. And part of it is because you want that anesthetic, right? You want somebody to administer an anesthetic first before they cut you open and do the surgery. And really, truly, this is what I have experienced. And I invite you to use this to the maximum. Give the heavy lifting to the Holy Spirit. But you have to ask. So the teaching is ask and it is given. It doesn't mean ask for chocolate and somebody will come give you chocolate. So they might. It doesn't mean ask for somebody to love you so you feel good about yourself. No, it's ask for support and it is given. Ask for insight and it is given. Ask for clarity and it is given. Ask for an awareness of the truth and it is given. Because you see, you already have it. The only thing is that what's obstructing everything, the whole experience of the kingdom, is what you are holding on to that stands in the way. Your beliefs, your attitudes, your opinions, your judgment. But you can ask the Holy Self, the Higher Self, the Holy Spirit, the angels, the Ascended Masters, Jesus, Buddha, Krishna, Kuan Yin. You can ask the whole tribe to assist you every minute of every day to release your judgments and opinions. And this is why I give you the metaphor or the image of placing it on the altar. That's why in my home I have an altar in every room. Because every time I see that altar, even if I don't recognize that I'm seeing it, I'm reminded that if there's a difficulty, I can place it on the altar. I'm traveling, I'm staying in a hotel today at Unity Village here, and I'll show the folks here at lunchtime, I have a little altar that I travel with. I made it an altar for the class. Place it on the altar. Place it, in Jesus' hand, or Judas, whatever. All the teachers are there to help us. Because time and space are an illusion. They're omnipresent. We're omnipresent. We're one with the one. This is the truth of our life. There's no reason to complain about anything. Partner up. Get some heavy lifting help. Don't do it alone. That's what A Course in Miracles is all about. There is a better way. And the way in is the way out. The way into that heart is the way out. You have a heart of gold. Seek first the kingdom which is within and all else will be added unto you. What part of that don't you understand? The part that you don't understand, ask and it is given. Be willing. Be trustworthy. When you get divine guidance, follow it. Follow it. Train your mind to listen and follow. Be obedient. Remember, to whom much is given, much is asked. If you would like to receive more, honor what you've been given. Don't treat it like trash. Don't ignore it. That's how you apply it. So I'm going to pray out here in just a moment, and I'd like to share with you that it makes such a difference to listen again and again. So I encourage you to pray for yourself before you listen again. If you're going to listen with your group, with your friends, pray for the group even before you hear my opening prayer. Set your intention. And remember, I talked about the goal that serves all. Start to write that down. What is that goal that serves all? To me, it's being the love in every moment. What greater gift could be? And since I have worked with that, I don't really care where I'm going and what I'm doing that much, as long as I get to be loving when I'm there. And I'm the only one that's in control of that. So I get to live my life purpose all the time, whether I'm at the gym or at the grocery store, or driving in the car. I love the subject of trust and faith because it has been my healer. I didn't know how untrustworthy I was until I started being willing to look at it. And when I discovered that, I made the commitment to be trustworthy. And it was like getting on a rocket to a healed mind. And I've been on that rocket ever since, and I invite you to join me. So I invite you to take another breath of gratitude and place your hand on your heart and be so grateful and so thankful right now that you gave yourself this opportunity to really partner up. And right now we're giving thanks that we have divine guidance and divine insight always available to us live streaming 24/7. That we're never left out in the cold. That we're always one with the one. Divine grace is active. Divine will is active 24/7. And we can train our minds so that we have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. And we can share the benefits with everyone and live a life of devotion. This is our intention right now. It's a holy intention. It's a divine goal, and we're grateful to accept it and to allow it to live as our very life. In gratitude, we let it be our life, and so it is our life. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. So thank you, everyone. You've got 48 hours to listen to this recording. And I do invite you to bring your friends and your family, your loved ones to join, to listen, to pause, to discuss, and to share. Thank you so much for participating, for being the love that you are. God bless.
This is Jennifer Hadley again. I invite you to remember that your dedication to your life of love is the best gift that you can share with the world. Love is the only healer, and it's always available to you for the asking. Remember, too, that you cannot have that which you're unwilling to share. Share the love today. Love out loud, and know that all boats rise on this holy tide of love. Thank you for joining us. Please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day.